Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here to worship today. I pray that you'd be with those who are going through finals, getting ready to move to Europe, that you would give them grace and help in this time of need, work. I pray that you'd help us and my family with our other house we're working on, trying to get everything done so the renters can be in there and happy and good to go. I pray that you'd help things to hold together. Help us with all the other stuff we're working on in addition. In Jesus' name, amen. Did they pay you first class?
No, I don't know. I have my first meeting with them on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So, I would love a first class ticket, but I looked at how much it costs, like $10,000. So I doubt that I'm going to do that.
This has nothing to do with the lesson, but when they were talking about sending me to India, I booked the flight for some of the people I was working with because I was their project manager, and it was like $6,000 or $7,000, and the hotel is like $150 a night, but it's a suite, and it's like a very, very, for there, very high-end hotel, and it's like $150 a night, but then the meals and all that, it would cost them to send me to India for a week, it would cost around $16,000 total. To go to India and work with the people I work with over the phone all day. So I don't want to go leave the family and go to India, but it's getting to the point where I work with so many people over there and so few people in the U.S. that it may have to happen eventually. But I was bored.
I would love to go.
And would that be there for you?
Oh yeah, they would pay to send me, but it was $16,000 for a 1 week business trip.
Yeah.
And my boss's boss, when he goes to all different kind of places than I would, but everything he does, they do first class everything, right? They would send me business class, they would send him first class. And he actually got offered by the airline to change his flight from one later in the day. They offered him a $5,000 cash out to change his flight. And he's like, but the company paid for it, I can't do that. Because they wouldn't give it back on him, put it back on his credit card for him to change flights, which he was willing to do. They wanted to give him $5,000 cash, and he called HR and he said, so if I do this and I bring it to you guys, does that cause a problem? They're like, you can't hold $5,000 of Intuit's money. You can't do that. And they were like, oh. So he couldn't do it. He was willing to do it for him, but he couldn't. $5,000 to change to a later flight? That's crazy.
When I hear them, they're like, we'll give you $200. I think it's crazy. $5,000 is ridiculous. Just to change a flight.
Most of our guys is $400.
Just get $400 to change?
I find it interesting that in one of the busiest, most tiring, in a lot of ways, frustrating and disappointing weeks I've had in a long time, going and seeing the house that we took care of for 10 years while we lived there, turned it over to the renters, it was immaculate, it was beautiful, there was nothing wrong anywhere, right? And every day that I go there, I find another thing that's broken and obviously been broken for months and we've never done anything about it. It's very disheartening. And busy with Joel being sick and losing sleep every night for that, and my work stuff is so crazy right now. It's interesting to me that the lesson that we fall upon, having been slowly moving through the curriculum all these months, having dodged revival last week so we didn't have a lesson, and all the times we've had no lesson because of Sunday being a one service day like Easter or Mother's Day or Father's Day, after all of that, today, the day I could hardly get, I woke up this morning, it was 10 minutes before I could figure out it was Sunday, right? It was just, it's crazy. Today, the lesson is on, are you ready for this? Renewal. Okay, Lord.
Is that the blank?
Yes, I need that. Yes, finishing your course requires renewal. So we talked about having confidence. We talked about consistency and all these different things. And renewal is, there's lots of different ways for renewal. A lot of the high power executives work, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, and they do these crazy things, but then they schedule it a year in advance, and they take a month off, and they go cruise the Caribbean, or they, you know, whatever they do. And that allows them to reset, renew, refresh, right? They take a big, long vacation. Well, people like that can afford to pay someone thousands of dollars a week to watch their children and take care of their house and stuff like that. Most of us normal people can't do that. So then we will take a vacation, which means packing children and everything that you require for children into the minivan, driving on the freeway, not very far away from home, to some not as fancy place. And you relax by taking care of your children in a different place than what you usually do, right? And you go see the sights, or you go to Legoland or whatever, right? This is our renewal. So I got news for you. That's not always renewal, right? But then there's another kind of renewal all of us should do every day, and that is sleep. And we go to bed at night, and hopefully we sleep for a while, and we wake up in the morning. Some people work nights, and you gotta let them sleep during the day. But you should get some sleep, and that's renewal. And it's interesting that God built this entire system that we live on here on Earth, where half the time it's light and you can get stuff done, but half the time it's night. And imagine before the days of buildings with temperature control and lighting and all these things. Imagine trying to get your farming done at 3 a.m. I know a lot of farmers probably get up at 3 a.m.
Moonlight would help.
There are a couple days a month it is bright enough with the moonlight that you could do some of it, right? Most of the rest of the time, God has the system built so that we should be resting, sleeping. You can't do as much work at that time. That's when you should be renewing. How many of us, though, in our spiritual lives, we have a ministry, we have church, we have our Bible reading and prayer, we have our all these things that we have lined up, and it's not that any of those are bad. It's more how you look at them, right? It's task-oriented. I have to check this box. I read my number of chapters I'm supposed to read today. I have to check this box. I spent this much time in prayer. I have to check this box. I helped the poor. I have to check this box. I witnessed. I have to check this, right? And when you look at it as a list of tasks, you tend to end up in a place where you're not enjoying it in your heart, and you're not being refreshed by the Holy Spirit. You're just doing the tasks, right? That is not how God wants us to serve Him. He does want us to witness. He does want us to help the poor. He does want us to read our Bible. He does want us to pray. But not as a list of tasks. He would prefer us to serve Him as a way of heart enjoyment.
He looks like he did for class. Sorry.
That's all right.
I get distracted by movement.
I do when I'm awake.
It's like squirrel.
Seriously.
So, when we serve the Lord, and when we do things that we wouldn't normally call serving the Lord, like going to work, teaching our class, you know, cleaning up after the kids, whatever, if it's what the Lord has for us, it is serving the Lord.
And that's what you would expect.
When we do it with an attitude of loving the Lord, and when we do it out of love, these same tasks can be in themselves renewing. But we have to take time for ourselves, and we have to plan to set aside time to sit down or what I would say lay down and pray. The problem with that is we all go to sleep.
Yeah, I fall asleep
immediately. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like I'm lying down, I'm done.
Oh, yeah,
sometimes I'll be praying.
So we should sit down and pray, and we should. One of the things we never do, well, I never do, like I should. I can't put this on you guys. I don't have to do this. One of the things I never do that I should is stop and listen to God, right? I'll listen to preaching in the car on the way to church, on the way to work, and I'll listen to Christian music in the car on the way home, and I'll, you know, those are great. But when do you go where there's no distractions, and you read your Bible and you pray, and then you just stop and say, okay, God, I read your word and I talked to you, now talk to me, right? What are you trying to tell me?
Or is there something else?
You can go super college on it, right? You can get out your Bible, you can get out your concordance, you can get out your Bible dictionary, your 1828 Webster's Bible Dictionary, you can get out your Matthew Henry's commentary, you can get out all these things, and you can read a verse, and you can take it apart, and you can put it back together, and you can find other places that the same Greek root word is used, and you can read all those verses and take all those apart, and you can go super studious college on it. But will you get the same thing from that you'll get from reading and praying and saying, okay, Lord, what are you showing me in this verse?
You might.
Which one would be more renewing? In some cases, either one. Right? But it's your attitude of the thing. It's not, oh my goodness, now I have to go look this up in the concordance. All right. Now I have to go look this up in the dictionary. All right. Now I need to go read the commentary. Now I can go to the next verse. Finally. Right? That's not renewing. That's not restful. That's not helpful.
I'm trying to get you to think that through and expound on.
So it's, here we go. 2 Corinthians 4. We've spent a little time here.
The divine expression of God is Jesus Christ.
You remember, I think we used this verse earlier, and it may have even been one of our memory verses. In Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
I thought we were in 2 Corinthians.
We are. While you're turning there, I'm reading you a different verse. We reap if we faint not. Does that mean we can never go to sleep? Is sleeping the same as fainting?
No.
Lots of people read that verse and say, I can't take a break. I can't stop doing this. If I don't do this, no one else will. Lots of people just push it too far.
The word now accounts for everything. He is the cause of everything.
All right, 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember, there was no light until God said, let there be light. That sun that was burning so well yesterday that I could walk outside and feel the sunburn starting on my skin within minutes. That sun that I filled up a 5-gallon bucket with water and rinsed something off and went and dumped it over the gravel, and I walked back by 10 minutes later and the gravel was dry. That sun that gives off that much light and energy and heat was nothing until God said, let there be light.
So do you think when he did that, like, it created all of the stars at one time?
Yeah, I believe it did.
Like all in one, there was one command or anything? He was like, I want to break this.
Well, let's break that. That's interesting. Let's go. Let's take a break and let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 3 it says, well, in verse 2 it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. How did he divide the light from the darkness? So he created earth, and he moved on the waters, and he said, let there be light. Then he took earth and spun it on its axis. The light was not divided from the darkness until earth was spinning on its axis, at least not for the things that would inhabit earth. Right?
tear into that and get biblical answers for that.
And when we move down in verse 6, he created the firmament or the land.
So would it have been at verse 4 when he separated light and dark that he would have...
The message of the scriptures.
Because you wouldn't have... I mean, if light and dark had no separation at that time, that would have meant that everything was light, not just on the...
Well,
earth.
On the first day he created light, but look down at verse 13 says, the evening and morning were the third day, so the third day has now happened. So then on the fourth day it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven... to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for season and for days and for years. So he created the stars and the planets, which are part of the lights in the firmament that are for signs and for seasons, right? He created them on a different day than he said, let there be light.
Oh, I didn't know firmament meant space, but it says in my Bible it means space. So, what do you
know?
Well,
remember, I'm hoping that this is what our next curriculum will be about, is more about creation. Remember, there was the earth with the water and the land on it, and then there was air that we breathed, the atmosphere. And then around that was a canopy of water, which meant the whole earth had a greenhouse effect, which I think is funny. We call it a greenhouse effect. When God originally created it, it was just earth. The sun would hit that canopy of water, which would filter out the UV, would warm that water, would warm the air and the earth under that water to exactly the right temperature. I don't know what that is. I don't know. God may think that the right temperature is 74. I personally think it's like 70. My wife thinks it's like 78. Right? Whatever. God had that perfect temperature and perfect level of humidity, which I don't know what that is. I don't like it as dry as it is here some of the time, but sometimes I like it much less humid than it was when I lived in Alabama. Right?
40%. Because then mold can't grow.
Well, okay. So he picked whatever that perfect humidity was, and the whole earth was the perfect temperature and the perfect humidity at the same, all at the same time. Whether you were on the North Pole or the equator, it was all the same because that canopy of water equalized it. It also had more air pressure because that canopy of water was keeping the air we had in here. And it had higher oxygen levels and higher oxygen saturation. Taking a breath would be like when people take, I don't know enough about drugs to say this right, when they take something like speed or an upper to try to give them energy, and right, taking a breath would just be invigorating at the to us at the oxygen levels that were on the earth at that time. Right? So it was way different. This world we live in isn't even, how do I say it? It doesn't even put a wart on how incredible and beautiful and wonderful the world was when God first created it. We've been ruining it with sin for over 6,000 years. It gets worse every day. It was way better before. All right. Wait.
Must be really powerful.
I think.
Verse 14, we find out that this word was flesh.
2 Corinthians 4.
Now,
we've made it now to verse 7 with a detour all the way back to Genesis. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So this treasure, what he created, we carry it around in earthen vessels, our body. So that because our bodies are corruptible and they die and they don't work right and they have problems, right? The excellency that's happening, anything we do that turns out excellent, it's obvious that it's of God because we're just made of dirt. Right? Dirt and water, basically.
Because we're a Christian nation.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. When we talked about confidence, we read these verses and said, because we have confidence in a better thing, we can have the right attitude, and even though they're troubling us on every side, we're still okay. Right? What about with renewal? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. It's like being tired by the end of the day, but then you go to bed at night, you sleep, you get renewal, you get up in the morning, and you can go tackle it all again. Some things you don't want to tackle again. Once you've tackled it, you've got the battle scars, you don't want to do it again. But you go to bed, you get your rest, you get healing, you get up, you're ready to do it again. Whatever you need to do, whatever God's preparing you for that day, you got your rest, you're ready to go again. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There's that attitude, that heart attitude. When you're in the military, they talk about bearing. Have you ever seen a U.S. Marine walking around droopy in his dress blues? No, and you won't. That just doesn't happen. By the time those guys get in their dress blues, or their BDUs, their camouflage uniform, or their regular dress uniform, right? By the time they get in their uniform, they've put on their United States of America flag patch. They've put on their Marine Corps emblems on their collars. They've put their name tag on, right? That builds pride in being, for them, a United States Marine. By the time they're dressed and ready to go out the door, they're not drooping. It doesn't mean they're not tired. It doesn't mean they didn't have a bad day. It doesn't mean they didn't have a bad night. It doesn't mean they have a rough day ahead of them. It doesn't mean any of that. But they're not drooping. They have bearing. They are a United States Marine. And everybody who meets them sees that their shoulders are back, their heads up, they're ready to take on whatever comes your way. That's bearing, right? This says, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. When someone sees you, do they know that you're a sinner saved by grace? Or do they just know that you're a sinner? When someone sees you, do they know that Jesus saved you with his blood and his sacrifice and he rose again and you're living for him? Or do they just see another worldly person walk by? What is your bearing showing them? It's hard to get renewal if you're down in the dumps by choice. Right?
Or to say, okay, I understand. I don't need to get upset with them or anything like that.
Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I did a lesson many years ago in my junior high class, trying to explain to them the verse that says, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Right? If you're still alive today, that means God's not done with you, and you should be glorifying him in the life that he's given you, and you should have some impact on the people around you, positive for the kingdom of God, right? If you're alive, it's because of Christ, and it's for Christ, for his glory. That's great. But if you were to die today, that would be gain for you because you go straight to heaven. Right? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, believe, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Check out that renewal. The same way Jesus raised from death, and he went from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body. He went from death to life. He went from being stuck on this earth to being able to travel up to heaven and come back when he wills. Which one of us can go to heaven and come back?
still there.
Well, according to all dogs go to heaven, not one dog.
Well, I have no idea.
You've never seen that movie?
If I have, that got pushed into my recycle bin long ago,
it's
because I have
old.
No room for stuff like that. My head is full.
I think it came out in the 80s. Early 90s at the latest.
My useless TV spots are filled with current things that my little boys watch. Wild Kratts and Rescue Bots. And yes, my useless TV memories.
The kids might like it. All dogs go to heaven. Cats are bad in that. Oh, that's the second one.
For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. God gives us grace to renew us so that that grace he gives us might rebound to the glory of God. So he renews us in spirit and in body so that we can glorify him. Why are you here on this earth? Why did God create man or Adam and Eve or all of creation? What did he do that for?
Worship.
To give him glory, and because he wanted to have someone to love in a relationship with. That's what we're for. So if he gives us grace to get through the day and to renew us, why is he giving us that grace? Because he wants to go up and get the rebound. He wants that glory, that grace, to come back to him as glory. That's why he gives it to us. Is he likely to give you more grace if you choose to use it to glorify him? Makes sense, right? All right, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm 40. I have less energy than I had when I was 21. I have less energy than I had when I was 30. So the reason why I
posed the question. I'm starting to learn that. I
right?
used to be able to write a paper until like 4 in the morning and then get up at 8 and be like, I'm good to go. And now it's like, I can't do that.
Yes.
Where did it go? I don't understand. I didn't change, but apparently.
It says, again, it says, for which cause we faint not, which doesn't mean we sleep not, we still take rest. We faint not, but though our outward man may perish, we're getting older, we're getting closer to death every day, whether we like it or not, it's not something we can change. So though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So how do you get renewal from God day by day? You go and you seek it out with the right attitude. You can't get renewed day by day if you constantly ignore reading your Bible, praying, going to church, helping people, if you don't ever try to show an attitude of love, you won't get the renewal. So we'll just finish it because there's only 2 verses left in the chapter. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I told you guys this was a rough week for me. God calls it a light affliction. I'll tell you what, today I'm not picking up a shovel or a rake or anything like that. I'm not doing any cleaning. I'm not doing any, well, I might do cleaning at home after the kids, but I'm not doing anything on the old house today. It's Sunday. I cannot be a witness to my renters if I come work at the house all day Sunday. I am meeting the yard guy, and we're going to walk through the yard, and I'm going to tell him what to do. But I cannot be a witness to them if I take off church and go work on the house. Right? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's where our attitude comes in again. It's not just about 4 walls and a floor that have to be cleaned. It's about God gave us that house years ago, we lived in it, we loved it, now we need to continue to use it to glorify him for longer. Right? It's the things that are eternal. All right. Well, I'm sure you guys know Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But let's look at the two verses ahead of that. Even the youth, no, he, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Then it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the verse for next week, Isaiah 40.
I hear things backwards. I might be dyslexic.
40 what?
29 through 31. So 29 is for this week. 30 is for next week, Mother's Day, when we don't have a verse.
No, next week is Mother's Day.
Right. We won't have class on Mother's Day because it's one service.
Oh, this is pre-game.
So I'm giving you the verse. So this week's memory verse is 29. Next week's memory verse is 30.
So in 2 weeks, you want us to say two verses.
Yes.
What you're saying.
Yes. Okay. 29 and 30. The bonus verse is 31, and it's a bonus because most of you probably already know it.
Can I please sing it?
If that makes it easier for you, do that when we come to class. We'll record it. Yeah.
Yeah, those are lyrics.
Yep.
Wait.
No, that's like another.
All right. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we could be here this morning. I thank you for the renewal you give us each day when we sleep. I pray that you'd help us to search out and seek out by having the right attitude, spiritual renewal through you so that we can do things that are eternal and not temporal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.